May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So my prayer that it wouldn't rain today wasn't answered, but my second prayer was, since we have now moved the picnic to indoors here, it better not rain today. And I'm glad to see that it's pouring with rain. Thank you, God, for second best. So you won't know that when I was a newly ordained clergyman in the Church of England, I was a bit of a media star, I have to tell you. A number of times I would get a phone call from the Church of England media office saying that they had had a request from a TV station or a newspaper wanting to have an interview with a clergy person. Now, I have to admit that none of this was over matters of deep theological importance. I was definitely at the daytime television end of things, definitely a C-list celeb. So, for example, when the Church of England did one of their annual reviews, here it is, the Robbins Cole family was proudly photographed in a supermarket, and that's actually William starring in it, looking at a box of donuts. It was talking about how the church need to look after their clergy, and I hope that you take that message as well. Another time, they were doing a show about various professional people who went to a gym, and so I starred as a person who went to the gym. On another occasion, horse racing on Sundays was introduced into England, and I was given £500 to give to any charity I wanted to, and in response to answering my views about horse racing and betting on a Sunday morning. And then the thing I'm most embarrassed about was I was actually in one of those Sunday tabloid famous English newspapers when, again, they did a piece about people in different professions. I will not tell you what some of the other professions were. And I kind of sweat a bit when I think about that. But none of these 5 minutes of fame count for anything, and they all pale into absolute insignificance compared to the honour and glamour of being featured in the Wellesley Western magazine when they did their piece on religious leaders. Now, I've always been a little frightened of journalists, so I didn't know quite what they would say about or how they would report what I said about St. Andrews. But once the magazine came out, I was really kind of pretty pleased about what they wrote about what I had said about this place and about my vision for St. Andrews. And I talked about this as being a spiritual home, deep in the Christian tradition, a place of beauty, of music, a place where of spiritual replenishment, where we could come Sunday by Sunday to in a way escape from the harshness of the world and to meet with Christ, to experience God's love and to be spiritually replenished. I thought, they really captured pretty well what I wanted to say. But I have to say, when I look back on that article now, I think it was wrong. It's not what I wanted to say. As I've reflected over this summer, as we've been putting together our strategic plan for St. Andrews and our vision for the kind of place we want it to be, and as I hear this gospel reading today, I realize what I said was wrong. In our gospel reading today, we hear Jesus talking to the 99 people who are already safely in church, saying that what God wants more than anything is for the one person who isn't here to be included, that there's more rejoicing over that one person who's lost to be here with us in church than there is over us already being here. And what I take from that is that God is not a half glass full kind of chap. God is a full glass kind of chap. But he's not satisfied with half measures. He wants us all to be included because his love knows no bounds. And we are the instruments and the people who he calls to reach out to those people. Now, I have to admit that I'm a kind of optimistic sort of chap, and I am a half glass full kind of person. And I guess when I had that interview with that reporter, I was
really thinking in a half glass full, isn't it great that we can come here and be spiritually replenished? Isn't it? And as I look around the world, I'm the kind of person who sees progress and goodness and sees, I see that millions of people being lifted out of poverty. I see the march towards racial justice in this country taking place. But after thinking about the calling of our parish and after hearing this gospel reading, I realize that God isn't satisfied like that. He wants everyone to be included in his love. He wants not just us to be halfway towards being the kind of society our forefathers and the founding fathers wished for us to be. He wants us to push all the way there. In the Eucharistic prayer C, which we've been using over the summer, in the Eucharistic prayer, there is a line that says, deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength. That prayer is about addressing the very point in this gospel. It's about saying that we come here not just for our own spiritual well-being, but we come here to be strengthened to be the instruments of God's love to the world. In our vision statement for our parish that the vestry has devised over the last year, we talk about wanting St. Andrew's to be a place where people do indeed experience the fullness of Christ's love in their lives through this parish and through the fellowship that we have. But we also go on to say that we wish to be a place where we help everyone to recognize their individual God-given gifts and to use those gifts to serve the world. Now, 99% of what we do with our lives is about getting on and doing what we already do, being good fathers and good mothers, being good parents, good daughters, good sons, being lawful citizens, paying our taxes, voting, doing all the good things that are so important for undergirding a society. But Christ pushes us beyond just doing the 99% of things we should be doing. He pushes us to ask us, what distinguishes us from anyone else? And it's going that last step to reach out to find that 99th person. We can't solve all the world's problems, but each and every one of us sitting here in this church has been given gifts that God wishes us to use to reach out to that 99th person, whether it's in forgiveness or love or showing, breaking barriers of discrimination, whether it's helping the poor, whatever it may be, each of us is called. I'd like to ask you all to turn to page 833 of the Book of Common Prayer, page 833. On page 833, you'll see the prayer attributed to St. Francis, a much loved prayer. And in a moment, I'd like us all to say this together. And I'd like this prayer, on this day when we remember 9/11, to be a prayer that begins us on this process of thinking and asking God to help us identify more strongly what it is that we are being called to do to make this world a place that all those who died on 9/11 would want it to be, a place of peace and love and justice. So let's say these words together. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.